I'm wound up. I am. Whew, God has been moving this week. He put something in my mind during prayer, and I told him if he brought it back to my mind, we'd do it. I wanted to be sure it was him. So I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Now, we've talked during prayer time and now during the music. We've talked about people being hungry for something more than average Christianity. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask you if you're hungry for more. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. But I'm going to ask you to raise it to receive more. Because I felt like God said he wanted to fill us with something. And that word fill is going to be God. And when God says a word, that word's alive.
Right.
That word has power. Now, you may not feel it the moment he speaks it to you, but it will do something in your spirit. So when you raise your hand to say, I'm hungry for more, you're inviting God to begin to stir your hunger and to begin to fill you with a desire for more of him. So I'm going to do that, but you know what? I'm not going to do it till after I bring the message. Because I want you to know what you're asking for before you ask for it. So you can open your eyes. I thought we were going to do it now, and he said, oh, no, I want them to know what they're asking for. So I'm going to start out reading. I don't know how much I'll read and how much I'll get off, because we'll let the Spirit flow. But this is not what I thought I was going to share with you this morning. But it is where he's going. And it started with a vision that I had a year ago, in February a year ago. And I may have shared a portion of that vision with you, but he wants me to share it in its entirety today and to open it up more for you, because it's going to change your life if you let it. So I'm going to start out reading it. I may read it all. I may not, whatever God wants to do. But I wrote that there was a time when I told God that I wanted 40 days in his presence like Moses got on that mountaintop. And there was a 40-day period of time. I did not fast food the 40 days. I did not go climb a mountain. I didn't even lock myself in total seclusion. But every evening after dinner, I locked myself in my room for 40 days in a row. During that 40 days, God took me into a continual vision that continued each night and became different. I always thought when I was a child it would be so great to have a tree house where I could climb up in that tree house and it was my little private place, you know. All I found was hiding in some lilac bushes. But I imagined a tree house. So God created what I started out calling a tree house, ended up calling a sky house, because it went so far into the sky, there were steps of water that led up to it. You could walk on these watery steps. The porch, when you got there, it rotated sometimes. And on it was a swing, and I had experiences in the swing. And there were telescopes all around it to look into the past or look into the future. Then you could go inside the actual mansion that was up there, my sky house. In there, there were rooms of wisdom where God's wisdom or God's patience or different characteristics of God would visit me there and do things. And there were doors all around that room that we could enter. There were different things that went on in that sky house during that 40 days. Through the years after that, I don't remember what year that was, I would have slight visions that would return to the sky house for other exploration there. This is one of those times. So as I prayed, my mind kept going back to memories of my sky house. My thoughts drew the image of the watery stairs, the living porch, and the swing where I first heard that song, Oceans. I didn't enter in, but I closed my eyes to remember the library. I still could see Old Man Wisdom seated at the head of the long conference table. My curiosity was stirred once more to open one of the many doors that surrounded the room, but somehow I knew I wasn't supposed to go inside today. My heart ached to return to my sky house and find Jesus waiting there for me. I asked him, can I run up the stairs and find you? There were no words. Then ever so gently, I felt that I was transported to the living porch. See, everything in that house is alive. I saw the many telescopes that were placed around the circle porch, and I knew they were used to look into the past or look into the future. I felt the presence of his spirit before me. This time, Jesus appeared like a white wind, almost shaped like a man. And he reached out, inviting me to come. Gentle breezes of his winds touched my flesh like sweet little kisses, and the breezes drew me closer, and his presence embraced me gently. I felt the porch begin to swing, to spin. It was moving to the right. I knew that meant we would end up going forward in time, into the future. I thought it would stop in front of one of the telescopes, and we would have a glimpse of something he was going to do. My curiosity disappeared as love and peace took over my inquisitive thoughts. I was content just to be embraced by his presence. I don't know how long it took. I don't know what time period we moved to, but finally the porch stopped spinning. I didn't want to open my eyes. I didn't care where we were. I was just lost in the beauty of his holiness. I whispered my love to him. Lord, you are so beautiful, so gentle and good. I just want to stay right here with you and drink in the essence of your love. I felt as if I was absorbing his presence into myself. I could literally feel something happening to my heart, as if it was being wrapped, then penetrated by a gentleness. I sensed a trembling in my spirit. Then something caused this strong resolve in my heart. I felt I was being prepared to stand firm, not be shaken by whatever I may encounter. That feeling actually ran from the base of my spine into my neck, and like it was giving me a strong backbone. Then the sensation continued up to my brain and finally into my eyes. I was being ready to see what he brought me here to see. Jesus spoke, and his words were sweet and tender, yet so powerful that the ocean below was calmed. His words were alive. I could actually sense the vitality of life in every word. Each one was sent forth to obey his will. I had a slight understanding of how he had created everything by speaking them into existence. I already knew that to be true, but this was like a deeper awareness of that fullness of life in every word. They had the ability to respond to him, to go forth out into the world or the whole universe, even into people, with the power to achieve whatever each word had been sent forth to accomplish. That was just... I have never realized the power of words like I did through that vision. Jesus spoke every word slowly, drawn out. Then he paused before saying the next. It was like he was waiting for a response, a reaction from that word. As he said to me, now. I was positioned in time. Even that word had waited for the right moment in history to be spoken. Now it was time. Then he said, open. Something inside of my spirit awakened in me to new possibilities. I got excited for what could happen. At the same moment, I knew this word had opened something else. I mean, it was like God was doing something in eternity, that he had waited all these thousands of years for that one moment. And he said, open now. I believe we're right at the doorway of that. We're right at that point in time when God is saying, right now, today, open something in the realm of the Spirit. And it will happen because God said so. We are going to witness something on the calendar of God. It's like opening a birthday present on the right day. The next word he said was, your. When he said, your, it became personal. It became my word. And when a scripture opens to you and something you see in there and you go, I want this. And you say, God, yes, I want this. Pray that scripture for yourself. When God says, yes, when God speaks the scripture to you, it becomes your personal word. I knew something was about to happen, and I was a part of it. God said, and. Now, who would think that little conjunction, that little word, and? But that word, and, created an anticipation in me. And what? And what? And what? I just want to know what's next. And what? If I'm open up, what's next, God? What are you going to do? And he said, eyes. And now open your eyes. I felt a tingling in my eyes. Like scales were falling off. Like I could see what I couldn't see before. I was coming out of blindness. I said the and out of place, and was after eyes, and see. The last word he said was see. Open your eyes and see. And the word see, my body just jerked. It was like it hit me in my belly, and I was like, oh, something's happening, and I'm going to see it. Wow. Just like every word he had done, I obeyed his will and I opened my eyes. He had positioned me to look up into the sky, and it was night. But it wasn't like any night I'd ever seen. The sky was dark purple, not black. It was mixed with slow-moving streaks of a deep red that just flowed, changed shape and direction, just flowing through that darkness. It was, for a moment, I knew that people on earth, if they looked in that sky, were only seeing the blackness. They were only seeing another night. They weren't seeing God in the darkness. But God's people, if they can see, will see the deep purple of what he's doing in darkness. I was also aware that every color that mingled and moved was moving in obedience to the response of God's will too. Tiny little white stars suddenly appeared and scattered throughout the dark night. And when they twinkled, little bursts of pink would appear and then turn into a glow that surrounded each star. And there was some awareness that every teeny star was so important to God. And it was like there could be billions and billions and billions of people, but like every little star, he paused and he just smiled and he said, my star, this is my little star. And that's how he is about every one of us. No one is insignificant at all. The longer I observed this display, the more colors I saw, traces of turquoise, lime green, and bright orange would shoot through the sky or flow through the sky. I've never seen turquoise in the sky. I was seeing colors that have never been in our sky, and I knew it was part to represent something new that he's going to do in our atmosphere. Every color was alive. Every color was a part of the message. It was a beautiful and amazing, and I had no idea what it all meant. And a verse came to mind. He did not open the verse up to me a year ago. He opened up to me today. So this is live revelation from God this morning. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare. They communicate. The heavens declare is the word. They communicate. They talk to us. They describe to us the power and majesty and glory of God. The verse says, they declare the glory of God and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. If we will let our eyes even just look at a night sky, it declares the existence of our God in all the glory of who he is. The next part says, day unto day utters speech. What? We're looking in the sky, what do you see? Darkness, a moon, stars. God says they utter speech. You know why they utter speech? Because God spoke them into existence. God spoke his will to them. God speaks to us without words that our ears can hear, but our hearts must discern. The next verse, part of the verse says, and the night shows knowledge. The nighttime of our life is filled with knowledge from God. When we're looking into darkness, if we can see the passion of God in the purple, if we can see the colors of God, the light of God twinkling in our life, if we can realize we're still important to him, then there's knowledge in what we're going through. We love the good times, the fun times, the times of blessings, but in the night of darkness and trials and troubles and even the silence of waiting, there is greater knowledge to be gained. That's where we grow. That's where we show him our faith, that we still believe him. The next line in that section of scripture says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to speak English. You don't need any language at all. The sky is speaking to you. God's creation is speaking to you all over the earth. There is no part of the earth. People say, what if somebody died in a remote village in New Guinea and they never heard anybody preach? God will speak to them. He will speak to them. if they want him to, if they're looking, if they're listening. So the stars and the darkness even obey his word. They're announcing his messages. They carry them in a very visual display. The next line of scripture. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words, again, their words to the end of the world. The word of God is carried in creation. Oh my goodness, did you hear that? He says the stars in the blackness contains the words of God. How is that possible? What are they saying? On that one night when I heard the Lord speak, he spoke a message into the sky. He spoke a message. Every little blink of every star is saying something. Do you ever just try it? Go out there sometime at night and just look at the stars and say, God, speak to me. You know, it's not just the sky. I listen to the wind. And I listen to the wind and say, it's the voice of God whispering to me. And sometimes words from God will start to come in your mind, come into your thoughts, come into your heart. If you ask him to speak to you, he can speak without verbal words, but something will happen in you. Amen. So this night, God said, open your eyes and see. And those words were placed in the sky like a divinely written sentence for us to read. There's a message in the heavens for us. There's a message for each one who will ask God to open his eyes to see it and his ears to hear it. The next part of the verse says, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. I like to write books. I like to write different books, creative books, not just the run-of-the-mill, what everybody else said, you know. God wrote the most amazing book ever using the sky as his paper. And he used many visuals to illustrate his story. And we're about to see the hero of the story step into view. The next part of the verse says, which is the bridegroom, and back it up, in them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. That also parallels to the Son of God, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. God has kind of shown us a visual of what he's doing on earth. And here, right at the climax of the story, he says, go forth. He sends Jesus into the picture, the strong man. And he is set on a course to run his race. When Christ was given this mission, way back in eternity, before the world was created, the entire world became God's book, the story of earth, the story of humanity. And now Christ comes into the story. He comes into the story to teach us about his Father, to teach us about eternity, to tell us about love, to give us hope of healing our wounded heart, to bring salvation and forgiveness of sin, and to draw men unto himself. To rescue us. That is the race he was set to run. That is the story of earth that God wrote. The next part says, his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat of it. Well, that is loaded. Jesus, as long as this earth exists, is still here running that race. He's got a circuit. You know what a circuit is? I went to the gym. I know what a circuit is. They set up all these horrible things to put you through, and you gotta do this and do that and do this and do that. You gotta do the whole circuit to complete that physical race. Jesus has a circuit that he's running, and it said it's from one end of the universe to the other end of the universe. He has set on course. Now, there was this song. I don't even know all the words to it. If I did, I might not even talk about it because I don't know what they are. Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. Told Harvey last night, I don't know why, that song came to mind, and I'm going around singing it. You know, I fell into a burning ring of fire, you know, and the flames came higher, and it burned. And that's all I could see was this ring of the whole earth set on fire with Jesus running his circuit. Because it is a circuit, a path of fire. It is a path of fire. Because his holy fire purges away the sin. His holy fire purifies. His holy fire heals. It just makes us ready for his presence. And if you think about it, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So I kept singing that song because I could see that. And, you know, so this is part of God's story, and there are sequels. God has a lot of sequels to this book, but they're not on earth. But you can get glimpses of them if you read scripture. You'll see some things that go beyond earth to the next edition coming out. So how can we enter into this? When we read a storybook, you know, right now I've got a book club of people helping me to write, which I desperately need, because I'm full of stories, but I'm not full of education, and grammar is not my high point, and I don't have a high point educationally. I hate math, I'm bad at grammar, and what's left? Recess? But I have stories. I do have stories that God gives me. And I was just crying the other day, God, why? Why would you choose somebody who doesn't know how to write to tell your stories? And he said, that's exactly why. Because you won't become proud. You know how desperately you need help. So I have to have editors. I have to have proofreaders. I have to have friends. He told me to get a team, and bam, like that, I had 9 people on board. I didn't think anybody would help. And they are amazing help. And eventually, my poor editors will get them a little more legible, readable. There you go. I don't even know the right word. But when we read a story, we find a character we relate to. So I've asked my readers, find the character you relate to, but then pick up another one too, a sideline character. Follow them through the books and make sure they're consistent. And when they do that, they come back about their character and tell me, you didn't tell me this about my character. Or, you know, they help me enhance that character. Well, I want you to put yourself, your character, into God's story. See yourself there. Become the character in the story, because he wants you to be in there. He wants you to be in there. He created you to be in this story, but you have to want to be in it. You have to join. But there was a hint when it said his circuit, there's nothing hid from the heat of it. Nothing is hid from the heat of this fire. That's a big clue. See, Jesus set this course of holy fire to purge and prepare and purify his people. To come closer to God means you got to step into the fire. You got to get into the fire. You have to let him purify your life, your mind, your heart, everything. It's a good fire. It's intended to heal and deliver and set you free into the realm of love and peace and joy. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. I've been asking him, God, I have been trying for years to quit judging and criticizing, and I'll watch a movie and go, I don't like that character, you know, and I know every reason I don't like that character and all the bad things about that character. I'm not going to watch a movie with that person in it again. And they're not in my life. But God says, when you judge another, you're guilty of the same. And I could say, no, I'm not. I wouldn't do what they're doing. Why wouldn't you do what they're doing? Because you've decided what they're doing is wrong and bad. And it touches something inside of you that you might have thought would be bad about you. It reveals you. It reveals you. Oh, man, that fire. Oh, it's going to be a little warning. Insert warning here. We're going to go there. This church is going to go into the fire. There's a fiery path ahead of us. But what God showed me to make that fire not so hot, just as hot as we could take it, matches. Little pack of matches in your pocket. Not stepping into the big burning bush where you would be consumed, burning up everything about you. No, slight exposure, little at a time. So when I feel judgment towards somebody, I go, oh, I'm feeling condemnation and judgment. Pull out my book of matches and light one. Burn it away, God. Just burn away this one little incident and forgive me for it. And take that fire deep in me and show me why I'm judging. Allow that exposure, one little match. I've actually ordered matches for us. And they say, let the fire burn. And I'm going to give you your own little box of matches to carry around. And I hope you'll pull right out of your pocket and light one, because the devil sees that fire and says, oh, no, the match. Fire of God. So we're going to burn. We're going to get some matches. But you know what? We've heard about torchbearers in the last day that carry the torch of God. How can you carry a torch unless you get it on fire? You want to spend your life with only matches? No. You're always going to have your matches, because we're never perfect. But as you get closer and closer and closer, he'll hand you the torch. And then to light your torch, you've got to get right up to that burning bush of his presence. Get right in the very heart and face of God. Put your torch in the fire of all that he is. And then you can go back out with that torch and light a path for other people to come. And I saw that vision probably 20 years ago. Somebody said, what do you think is the next footprint of what's going to do, God's going to do? I'm very visual. I have a lot of visions. And I just give God, what's your next footprint? I ask a lot of questions and I get answers. What's your next footprint? He took me down under the ocean floor and I saw footprints of God. And in the first footprint, people were just laying on their face in dirt. And in the next footprint, they were crawling. Christians were crawling. And the next footprint, they got up and they were beginning to walk. But they were in unity. They were lined up in unity, going the same direction. And they were going to the right, to the future. And in the next footprint, they had torches. From walking with God to the torch was only one more step. And then they walked up out of that water. And they were at the base of the mountain of God. And they began to climb that mountain, creating a path lit by those torches, carrying the presence of God, creating a path. Now, the people that were coming to the foot of that mountain, back in Moses' day, he had all of Israel at the foot of the mountain, and God said, bring them up to me. And Moses said, come on, let's go up the mountain. Let's go up and see God. And the people said, no. We put our foot on that mountain, it will kill us. It probably would have, because they didn't really want God. They were afraid of God because they wouldn't let God get inside of them. But Moses said, when he saw that fire, when you think of Moses in the mountain, what do you say? Fire, burning bush on top of the mountain. Moses was down here with as much guilt and sin as anybody else, but he was a hungry-hearted person who said, I don't care if it kills me. I'm going to the top of that mountain. Now, he didn't transport to the top of the mountain. He had to cross the desert. He had to start up a path. He had to start up a path. He had to light matches all the way. He had to light those matches one thing at a time. As he got closer and closer, he maybe got a little bigger fire, you know. But he was inviting people. Come on, if you just take a book of matches, you can get on the path of fire up the mountain to God. So the people that we're going to talk to, maybe they're not going to have to be face down in the mud. Maybe they're not going to have to crawl so long. Maybe they're not going to have to take all the time. We did. I've been saved 48 years. Man, I'm amazed at what I haven't seen. As I see it, I go, really? Oh my gosh, does everybody else see all this stuff that I never saw, you know? I used to say, God, show me my sin, hide it from everybody else. Sometimes he graciously does that, you know. But now I'm willing to say, God, I'm ashamed of my sin and I don't care who you show it to. If it brings you glory, expose me. I don't care anymore. I don't care if they know what I've done. I don't care if they know what I'm wrong with me right now. I just want you to be seen. So go ahead. Light the big matches on me. And boy, is he. And it hurts so good. So it's a fire. It's a path of fire. Apostle Paul said that his desire, God's desire for us in Ephesians 3:17-19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is what we want. And you know, why would we be afraid? Why would we be afraid when... Did I miss this verse? No, because it said when the bridegroom comes out of his chamber. He's coming as a bridegroom. He's not coming as a punisher. He's not coming to you as judge and jury so he can send you to prison. He's coming as a bridegroom. That's the most passionate, deep love. He wants to bring you into the oneness with him and pour love upon you. And the devil has built walls and doors and closets where everything hides. But this says nothing can hide from the fire of God. And that's because he wants to bring truth that sets us free. So let me finish the vision here. The little stars were speaking to me in a language of love, far beyond and much more powerful than any word man can speak. I was full of God's peace and patience. Time was irrelevant. I was in eternity. I was captured in this slow motion realm. You know you're in eternity when it's like you can have a glimpse and you go, wow, that was just 2 seconds, but it would take me a year to explain what I just saw. Each slight movement was able to travel backwards or travel forward in time. In a moment, we could move through space and time to accomplish years of whatever the Lord wanted to do in mere seconds. As I waited contentedly, I began to sing an old familiar song. Now, please forgive my voice. It's another talent I wasn't given. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little stars, now I know just what you are. Messages of God's true love, written in the sky above. I only sang it because I want you to get hooked on it and sing it yourself. Suddenly I was shaken out of my calm peace as a bright turquoise streak of light shot straight toward me, hit me like a bolt of lightning, exploded in my belly, and I could feel it so deep in the pit of my stomach I grabbed it with both hands, and it shocked me. It shook me, and I jerked, and I shook, and I waited for explanation. And I realized that now I had turned my face away from the sky, and I was looking down. I knew God wanted me to look up again, and as I did, vibrant colors were shooting in all directions. At the same time, there were little soft colors, soft pinks, baby blue, little pastel greens and yellows, swirling in little circles. God was doing all of this at one moment, at the same time. And I think it affected people differently. For me, I'd be melting in peace. For Harvey, he'd be a little bomb shooting off, you know, and throwing sparks everywhere. I realized, then I realized that the stars had just disappeared. And I wondered where they went. Where are the stars? One peeked out from behind a violet-colored cloud, and it seemed to wink at me as if to assure me they were there, just hiding. And I believe that that's Christians in hiding right now. I believe God has taken some people out of the main flow, out of the public eye, and he has hidden them. But we're still here. We're still waiting. Somehow in my spirit, I knew what I was witnessing was a future event. Whatever was happening in the heavens would affect a major change on earth, especially in Christians. Was it even only about earth? Maybe it's about more than that. Again, the Lord knew my thoughts, and I felt his peaceful smile. In that moment, we were caught up in a mighty wind. It picked us up and it drew us backwards. We were just sucked right up like a tornado. When we went through something, we were just traveling at the speed of light through some kind of a tunnel for a long, long, long distance, and yet it happened so quickly. Then we were drawn out of the tunnel, stood on the porch, facing a telescope. And I knew that's where we'd been. We had gone into that telescope. Now we were back there. And as I looked at the telescope, it was full of all the colors that I had seen in the night sky. I love how everything in my sky house is full of life. There's nowhere you can look or touch that it isn't alive with God. God knew that I wanted to understand the message of this night sky, and finally, he spoke to me. The message is inside of you, and you will prophesy at times as it arises in you. Today it arose in me. Yesterday it arose in me. Today it wouldn't let go of me. This is a day for it to be spoken into you. And then God said, I do have this that you can say to them. I will tell you this. In the darkest of night, I'm there. In the blackness that others see, look for my presence. The world will be blind, but my people will see what only can be seen in the realm of spirit. Tell my people this. I will give you this glimpse of hope. There is always light in the darkness. If you have eyes of faith, I am here. If you seek me, I will be found. because I want to be found. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There is a plan and a purpose in everything that happens in our life. Don't lose hope. God says, I have written the book of your life, and I know the ending. Don't give up on the story before you get to the surprise ending. You're going to love it. When he said, I've written the book of your life, I remembered what Joel said to us when Jesus was in the garden and said, is there any other way? And the Father said, it is written. God has written the book of your life. Your story has been written by God. You just need to come into your own story and begin to live it. So everything that I've shared with you today is because it's the season that we're going to enter this path of fire up the mountain to the presence of God. Moses turned away. He turned aside. It said he turned aside from the way the others were living. He was among the people of God. We've been among church. We've been among Christians. But we have to turn aside from the normal and want more and dare to go after more, no matter the cost. And I don't want to lie to you. You will die. You won't die physically. But you will die to self. You will die to anger. You will die to bitterness. You will die to everything that hinders love. That's what you'll die to, so that you can truly come alive. Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Somewhere else he also wrote, I die daily. When people were saying, but look at what all you're going through. And he said, you know, don't bother me with that. I die daily. I must decrease so that he can increase. Amen. Because as he increases in us, we get free. We come alive. So what did he gain? For to me, live is Christ, and to die is gain. What he gained was Christ. What he gained was love. What he gained was healing. What he gained was freedom. And that's what we'll gain. So now, please, close your eyes for a minute. Just want to be quiet for a minute while you take in everything that the Lord gave us today. Think about it. Think about your life. Consider. Consider. Do you want to stay where you are? Do you even just want normal Christianity? Because there's nothing wrong with it. People are going to churches, learning to have a better life, have a happier family. They're getting touches of healing and deliverance. It's happening. It's available. And if you're at a place where that's what you're hungry for, that's good. So please don't raise your hand because somebody else might wonder what you're thinking. You know where you're at and you know what you need right now. What God is doing in you is perfect wherever you're at. But if you do raise your hand, the word he gave me to speak, I'm going to go around and I'm going to touch each hand that's up in the air. And I'm only going to say the word, fill. But I believe God is going to fill you with a deeper hunger. He's going to fill you with a desire for more. If you want to go home, talk to God, he's still got the fill bottle out. He'll fill you more and more and more the more you ask for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for wanting us, loving us, and being here.